The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
There is nobody that holds a candle to the king.
You know, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, maybe you build some tag teams here.
We are the absolute best tag team of all time, bar none, the greatest tag team of all time.
Jay White's going to be a star, no matter where he goes.
I'm going to be the guy that spits in the face of cliches. I'm going to be the guy that tells time to f*** off.
Man, what in the world is Joe doing? Just standing. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just likes Jericho's music as much as I do.
What happened? The same thing that happens all the time. I come here, conquer, and go home. Defense number one in the books. Everett, you never stood a chance. The rest of the X Division competitors, you won't stand a chance either.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 249, part 2. And of course, we are brought to you by the W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place you go find all your great wrestling needs. Plus, don't forget, if you want to go ahead and find us on iTunes or wherever, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max. But if you love the entire W2Mnet.com family, make sure you go subscribe to the W2M Network. So that'll get you all the great content that not only we provide, but everybody over at the W2Mnet.com link family provides. So I am Gary Vaughn. Of course, with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And guys, we've got a great show in store for everyone tonight. We are not only going to do an Extreme Rules preview, but we're going to be talking about Best of the Super Juniors tonight, along with a lot of great quick hits. Of course, lots of wrestling news to jump into. Plus, we're also going to be talking about that first episode of Lucha Underground for the next season that's come up upon us. So that's awesome. We're so excited about this new season. And we'll be getting into that. Paul will lead us down that road. Sean and I honestly forgot. So Paul is going to have to help us out. And then hopefully me and Sean can catch up in Lucha Underground. But this is great. At least we have one of us who actually knew what was going on. But yeah, this is going to be a really fun episode. I just want to throw out the fact that, you know, I'm sorry if anybody hears any noise. My wife is currently getting ready for my daughter's birthday party, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, of course, no matter how late at night it is, you got to get ready in secret so she wakes up to a birthday surprise. So that's what's going on in my world. Looking forward to this weekend, too. We're taking her to the Sea Life. I don't know if anybody knows what a Sea Life is. They have them around the country, but it's a big aquarium. We're going to have a birthday party there. And so we're getting ready for a big weekend over here. I don't know about you, Sean. How are things going with you, man?
Anaya's a little sick, so we had to go spend some time at the clinic and get her some medicine and just, yeah, getting ready for the weekend. And I already got some of my school stuff settled pretty much. Found out I'm going back on September 25th. So weird to, only online class, but still weird to have, be back in that setting of I'm doing a class now, I gotta pay attention and all that stuff, you know.
Ooh, it's gonna be a lot of fun though. I know you're gonna enjoy it. It's right up your alley, you know, so you'll enjoy it. It'd be good stuff. Paul, man, anything going on with you? You go see any new movies like Pirates or anything like that?
No, I actually heard Pirates, the new one, was excessively bad, so I'm probably not going to pay money to see that one, if you know what I mean. But I want to see Wonder Woman very badly, so I'm probably going to go see that sometime this weekend.
What about The Mummy? I heard that was like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, if you take off the 9, you might be closer.
Wow. And they want to have that's terrible. And they want to have their own universe for that. Mm-hmm. Right. And a bunch of other series, so that's going to be fun how that goes.
Well, you know, Russell Crowe is going to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And, yeah. You know, we'll see who's going to be the wolf. I can't wait to find out who's going to be the wolf man. Well, I know Johnny Depp's going to be the invisible man. So, you know, that'll be interesting as well. So, I think it's cool. I love all these old monsters from the 50s. That's kind of a cool. I love that monsters universe. I think they call it the Dark Universe. I'm not sure if that's right, but from what I've heard, the Dark Universe is what they're going to call it. So, we'll see, though. I mean, I'm excited about finding out more about this stuff because, once again, it's the classics, and hopefully they won't screw them up. I haven't seen The Mummy. If anybody has, let us know what you thought about it so we don't waste 10 to 12 bucks going to see that.
Yeah. Hasn't been unless it's on Rotten Tomatoes yet either, so won't know if 7 or 97 is correct.
Okay. See, that's what you get for listening to sports radio guys who throw out these numbers, you know? They're not always correct. So.
The new Pirates show has 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, that's awful.
Wow. Yeah, they should have stopped after the second one. But anyway, let's move on past all
Johnny
this movie
Depp
talk.
Needs some money, man.
I know he does, and Disney's willing to give it to him because they love him. And I wish they loved us, too, that much, because we could definitely use those millions of dollars.
That's the same guy who will show up as Captain Jack inside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney World, so...
I know.
He loves the world that much.
I wonder how long he actually does that, right? I mean, does he do it for, like, 30 minutes, 4 hours? I'm always curious how long he actually spends time doing that, you know?
I don't know. I've only all the clips are just people like passing him by on the boat, so you only see him in there for like maybe 30 seconds.
And I wonder how many ladies have drowned jumping out of the boat, Johnny, you know, and died in a sad death, you know, trying
God.
To.
God,
I think Johnny. That would make the news, Gary.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You're talking about Walt Disney. That machine is so big; they own the news. I mean, so we probably wouldn't hear about it. You know, it's kind of like Oprah Winfrey. Like, it's the one person I don't want to make mad. I'll make Donald Trump mad. I'll make anybody else in this world mad. Not Oprah Winfrey, because I would disappear forever. No one would ever know that I existed. So there's few people that have that much power. Oprah is one of them. But anyway, enough about her. Let's talk about some other great things going on in the world of wrestling. And we're about to, once again, embark on a new pay-per-view. You know, not a new one per se, but another pay-per-view that is a Raw brand. And I'm looking forward to that. And just to let everybody know, we are also going to be jumping into the Best of Super Junior stuff. I know a lot of people are waiting for us to get into that. So we're going to be covering that as well tonight. Don't forget about that. You're going to get that later on in this show. But yeah, let's go ahead and start off by talking about this show, and this is going to be a really interesting show, I think, because there are some things that could be a lot of fun, especially since it's Extreme Rules, right? All the, you know, no DQs, weapons involved, so lots of great things. But there are some matches here that I don't know that we're sold on that's going to be so great. We'll start off by talking about one of them. It'll probably be the pre-show match.
Let's play that theme first, Gary.
Go ahead. Let's do it. Sorry about that. I get so excited about talking about this first match that I couldn't hold my horses. Rich Swann and Sasha Banks will be taking on Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. I mean, I know all of us
want to dance with Sasha and Rich Swann.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad dancing, but I mean, it is what it is. The rest of this is probably going to be terrible, though, compared to that. I don't know. You guys, we've seen it. We saw this match on 205 Live. We've seen it plenty of times. I don't know that we really need to see it again, but here we are. What do you think is going to happen here, Sean?
You know, I feel like this is set up for the... You've had some alternate, you know, going back and forth. I think Noam Dar got his win back. I feel like you're not going to have Sasha get involved in a feud like this if she's not... Her team's not coming out on the winning side, so I'm going with Swann and Alicia Fox here. Or a Swan and Sasha Banks, sorry.
Right. Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Swerve.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there have been so many faces winning the feuds on 205 Live. I kind of like to see Dar and Alicia just come out on top in this one, especially because I don't think Bliss and Bayley's really going to finish up here either. So I'm going to say Dar and Fox win this here, and we're probably going to be subjected to a little bit more of this stuff going forwards.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys over that fact that, you know, it's not quite time for Banks to move on. So I think this sadly will lead to a singles feud between them when it comes to maybe the next pay-per-view or something down the line before, you know, the holding pattern ends for Sasha Banks. So we'll see. But yeah, we'll go with the heel team here. I think that's a pretty smart move. Well, let's talk about the WWE Cruiserweight title. That'll be defended at this Extreme Rules. Neville and Austin Aries will battle this thing out in a submission match. And I'm really curious to see how this will all take place. I mean, I know probably some high-flying here and there, but, you know, they're going to be trying to get each other to submit. So we may get a little bit more ground-based. How do you guys feel? I mean, I think this could be a really fun match. We've seen Austin Aries and Neville really honestly put on some good showings every time they get together. I'm really hoping this one is the same. Paul, what do you think?
I'm really hoping this steals the show. I think these guys are capable of it. If they really get some time to go out there and do it, and with six matches, that might very well be possible. But, man, I'm still not done with Neville being champion. I really want him to win, although it would make sense if Aries does finally win the championship here. I would love for Neville to move on and battle some of these faces that 205 Live gets putting over. So I'm going to say he manages to get out of this somehow, some way. Plus, that keeps some of the heat on Neville and TJP's relationship going forward, too.
Yeah, I think certainly there's a case to be made that Neville can win here. I just wonder how many times do you want Austin Aries to lose before people just stop caring about when he makes title challenges, you know? So do they have to think about, man, we maybe need to give him the win here? You can still continue the feud with Aries not being champion. I can see the other way too. Does it hurt Neville if he loses, especially in a submission match, even if he, you know, fights valiantly or whatever? Same thing could be said for Aries. Just, this is a hard one. I think it could certainly go either way, but I think I'm going to wind up going with what Paul said, is Neville retaining.
You know, I can't remember all the past, you know, matchups that I've predicted Austin Aries between these two, but I'm going to do it again. And one of these times, I'm going to be right, hopefully. So I'll go Austin Aries. But it's really for no great reason. I just think that, you know, there could be a little scare factor here that if Austin Aries does not win, you know, the crowd may really kind of lose interest. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Sean. It could be a factor in this decision, but who knows? Neville's a great champion. I'm kind of a little bit 50-50 here. I'll just say Austin Aries, though, just to kind of mix this thing up a little bit here. Let's move on to the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship belts, and those are, of course, held by Matt and Jeff Hardy, and they'll be taking on those guys over there with Cesaro and Sheamus, who now are apparently best friends. This is kind of interesting, though. These guys have really worked well together as of late, and I think a lot of people are enjoying that. Is it time for Cesaro and Sheamus to regain their title, Sean?
No. I think the Hardy train is going to keep going here, and they're going to keep winning. I feel like until someone proves that the Hardy should really be, you know, I could see a New Day type reign for these guys of keeping it until WWE feels like there's somebody worthy. Or until the hype dies down, one of the two.
I could see a title switch here, just because of Steel Cage, and I could see the Hardys, like maybe this is the time that they finally bring up the age factor with them or something like that, but I don't think they will. I like the Hardys to win here too. Not that I don't love Cesaro and Sheamus to bits, but the Hardys, they're a fun team still, and they can really, the crowd infinitely cares about them, so that makes the tag title seem important too. And like Sean said, until they find a team who really gets there and feels like the heir apparent sort of to the division, I don't think they're going to move them off the Hardys anytime soon.
Yeah, and the fact that this steel cage is in the mix, I think, is really going to affect this outcome. I think, really honestly, you're going to get Cesaro and Sheamus looking dominant at times and really making their case be known that they, you know, really should hold those titles. But I think when you got a guy like Jeff Hardy who can, you know, do whatever he wants from whatever height he wants, I mean, that's going to come into play. I think also with Matt's aggression, it's just going to play into the favor of the Hardy Boys, and they're going to continue on being the champions past this match. But that steel cage will once again be a big factor in this process, I think. So, well, let's talk about the WWE Raw Women's Championship, and that, of course, is held by Alexa Bliss facing off against Bayley, and this will be a kendo stick on a pole match. What a gimmick that is. But this is going to be one that I think a lot of us...
Russo-rific
gimmick. Yeah. Very true. Let's see if the outcome is very Russo-ific. I mean, Paul, how do you think this one's going to shake out?
I like Alexa to retain here just because there's still another Raw pay-per-view to go before we get to SummerSlam. I think they're going to tease this Banks turnout some more, and they'll keep her busy with Dar and Fox for a little bit longer until they decide to start getting him involved there. And then you can have her turn at Great Balls of Fire and push towards SummerSlam from there for Bayley and all that good stuff. So obviously there's a great story here with Bayley trying to figure out if she has it in her to do more bodily harm than just wrestling does to somebody and breaking out the kendo stick. But in the end, I think this is going to be Alexa's match to win.
Yeah, I feel like this is... certainly the struggle is going to be there for Bayley, and I think that's what's going to do her in, is how much is she going to want to hurt Alexa. And, you know, Alexa's going to find some way to get the win here. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it does put Bayley over the edge and she just goes too crazy, maybe. You know, who knows? They could just decide to be like, oh, she kicked too much ass, so we're just going to end the match or whatever. You know, we've seen those happen sometimes too. But seriously, I think Alexa wins, and... I don't know if they keep that feud going or what, but I definitely see that going. It's not like they really have a lot for either of them to do right now.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think this kendo stick will be a factor, but I think the bigger factor is one that has not been named yet. And I think that could be Nia Jax. I think that she could get involved. We've already said that, you know, or heard her say that she's now best friends with Alexa Bliss. So that could come into play, causing all sorts of havoc and really leaving Bayley in a bad situation. And I just think, let's be honest, right now,
that's Bayley's a good call there, Gary, because, you know, she did say, all right, I get to claim my title shot, right? So if she keeps Alexa as champion, then the next person could be her.
Yeah. And
maybe they do a three-way or something.
That is, you know, that's really interesting too, for the fact that you guys think that, you know, that's why we haven't seen Nia Jax, is they want to kind of make it a surprise, because really they've kind of went from using her all the time to all of a sudden not.
Yeah, because I mean, she was the one that complained about the, hey, what do you know, they use all of the SmackDown women all the time, but not on Raw, you know.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, this is going to be kind of fun to kind of see if they do that, or it's going to be straight up. But I don't think Bayley's going to regain her title anytime soon. Let's talk about the WWE Intercontinental title, though. This is one that's going to be really interesting. Now, the stipulation here is if Dean Ambrose is DQ'd, he will lose his title. So just to let everybody know that that could be a factor in this process of this match. But let's go ahead and, you know, predict this thing. Sean, how do you feel who's going to shake out to be the Intercontinental Champion?
I feel like The Miz, he's so great when he's the champion of something, and I mean, that title has just really been his for a long time, it seems like, recently. Why not again?
I feel like it, I mean, we've seen them use this trope before, and then they do nothing with it. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Ambrose still wins. But I feel like you've done this so much that you got to have a payoff here, and maybe Ambrose disqualifies himself, and that's the way Miz wins, which Ambrose gets his rematch either way, but I think it gives Ambrose a reason for a rematch even more, just because there'll be some kind of weird way he disqualifies himself to get the win, or to get Miz the title.
Yeah, I mean, whether the stipulation plays into this or not, I don't think ultimately will be all that important for me. I think what is important is that they do move that championship over to the Miz. The title, it looks better. I don't know, they always seem to do more with the Miz with the IC title, and with the main event as crowded as it is, I don't wager the Miz is going to be challenging for the Universal title anytime soon. So this keeps the spotlight on him, and I like that idea very much.
Yeah, and that's good, and that's really important, you know, and I feel like, you know, honestly, The Miz is a guy that we've really enjoyed and really hope that he continues on doing some good things, and his thing with Ambrose has been pretty okay. Not great, but pretty okay. I don't know. This is hard for me because, I mean, I could totally see, you know, Ambrose holding on to it, but you know what? I'm going to say The Miz. I'll go with that. I think that could be a lot of fun to see him, you know, and see Dean Ambrose chasing for that title again. The Fatal 5-Way match is a big deal here. We've heard about this nonstop, and this is, of course, going to be the Extreme Rules match of the night. This, of course, will name the number one contender for the Universal title. So this will be kind of fun to see who will be the next guy to face off against Brock Lesnar. The competitors will be, of course, Roman Reigns facing off against Seth Rollins. We also have Finn Balor, Samoa Joe in the mix, along with Bray Wyatt. So all these guys have this opportunity in an Extreme Rules match for the number one contendership. Boy, this is going to be fun. You know, if you're asking me right now, you know what? I'll throw my name in the hat for Finn Balor. That's who I'll go with. Who do you guys think, Paul?
I'm with you on Finn Balor. Everybody, like Bray, seems to be almost a non-factor. Everybody else I could see kind of being in the mix for that, but I don't know. Finn, to me, has the best reasoning, the best story, and I think the most interesting matchup with Brock Lesnar, too.
Yeah, I think once Paul Heyman said something about kind of teasing Finn a few weeks ago, I feel like that's what it's been set. I mean, would I love to see Samoa Joe and Brock at some point? Certainly. I do think you could do that down the line. Finn is a guy that people are certainly behind. Brock kind of plays that in-between guy. And I think this allows you to see, you know, what Finn could do and what kind of match they could have against each other in a B pay-per-view. Why not? Definitely a good choice. I mean, all of these are not bad choices. Obviously, Roman's for later, so he's not winning. I don't know about Bray and Brock or whatever, and Seth is such a, I don't really care about him so much that I don't want to see him win, so to me it's between Joe and Finn, and I'm going to say Finn on this one.
Oh, wow. So all of us agree on Finn Balor. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's really interesting that we all kind of have that same mindset, but I think there's a lot of folks out there who kind of feel the same way. You know, Finn's been that guy that they've really been wanting to showcase, and it's great because, really, honestly, any of these guys winning would not be a downfall. I think everybody that's involved could honestly have a pretty decent time feuding with Brock Lesnar. But, I mean, Finn has already been pointed out by, you know, the advocate himself, Paul Heyman. So I think fingers are pointing that way in that direction for Finn Balor to do something great. But yeah, that's our Extreme Rules predictions for you guys. Of course, you know, there will probably be a roundtable on W2Mnet.com for this Extreme Rules, so go look for that this weekend. Also, don't forget, we'll be covering this show following Sunday night. So right after the pay-per-view is over, Around, you know, probably about an hour and a half after, we'll be probably getting on board and doing a podcast about it. So check us out. If you don't stay up late, hey, on your car ride home Monday morning, go check it out. We'll be doing that review for Extreme Rules. But now it is time for us to move on and talk some wrestling news. We're going to jump into some quick hits. And don't forget, we also have to talk Lucha Underground in this episode. I know, it's so weird. We're still going to be doing that too, so don't forget about that. But now, let's go ahead and do some quick hits, guys.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Take it away, Gary.
All right. Well, guys, I mean, we all know that this situation with the World of Sport did not go the way that has been planned. They wanted to make this a big deal over there in ITV in the UK. And all indications are basically saying this thing is dead in the water. So that, sadly, is not great for the UK world wrestling scene, for the World of Sport, of course. But what is interesting about this is there's a lot of wrestlers who had already signed deals with ITV, which means that they are exclusive. They cannot go do a whole lot of other things that they want to do. And they're considering their other options because, really, World of Sport is not one. So we're hearing a lot of them are asking to opt out, to get out of their contracts. And, of course, this also means something special to some of the bigger stars like Viper, who has been contacted by WWE to be a part of that Mae Young Classic this summer. Wow, I mean, it only makes sense. I really never thought about this, guys, to be honest with you. I never really, you know, came to the conclusion, like, guess what? There's a ton of people who ink deals for a promotion that's not going to be around. Paul, what do you see going on with this situation?
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. There, like you said, there's a lot of guys and a lot of the bigger UK talent that ITV could sort of tempt over did sign deals. And I don't know for how long or anything like that, but clearly it was enough to get WWE to do what they did, and it was going to be long-term if they're asking to opt out. And even if it's just a year or 2 years, like, the opportunity to be on TV could hit you tomorrow. So it makes sense for a lot of these people to try to opt out of the contracts and everything like that. And especially if you're somebody like Viper, who the WWE has been trying to get in contact with for a tournament or to come into NXT or do whatever, this is doubly important. And this is only happening apparently because WWE either knows or has heard that this is all happening, and that's why they started contacting Viper, who I've never really viewed as being all that great personally, but she is somebody that Stardom's very interested in pushing, so she's got to have some worth somewhere.
Yeah, Stardom's really liked her. They've used her quite a bit against in big match, in title matches and stuff like that, so I'd really like to see it as far as, you know, her coming into the tournament. And she's also a you know, bigger girl, so just WWE having more different kinds of women. I mean, they're already doing that with Nia and, you know, Tamina to an extent and all that kind of stuff. So it's not that they need to, you know, fill a quota or whatever, but I still think it's, like, cool to just have different, you know, from all different shapes and sizes and countries and everything else. So I think that's cool for her. And it's, I mean, if you're, you know, you're gonna have Kairi Hojo in the tournament, you're gonna have a few others, so have someone else that some of these are women are familiar with.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's going to be interesting in this tournament for the Mae Young Classic, because of the fact that, you know, we are seeing talent like Shirai, who is not going to be a part of it because she's still got dates with Stardom over there in Japan. But like Sean just said, you know, we got Kairi Hojo that will be, you know, entering into the performance pretty soon here. She's almost done with all her stuff. She's actually finishing up this weekend. But she'll also be joining other people like Nixon Newell. We also have Evie, along with, you know, someone like, you know, when we have Demi Bennett. So that's going to be kind of cool that we still have this new talent, even though not all the talent that you were expecting to be a part of that tournament will be there, Paul.
Yeah, Io Shirai was obviously late on signing and all that good stuff, so no surprise that she won't. Well, it's rumored so far that it's very unlikely she won't be in there, but you never know. Magic could happen or something like that. Kyrie makes a lot of sense to be in there, though, as does Nixon and Evie, who are both standouts with Shimmer, as well as places in the UK. And Demi Bennett's strictly Australia, who does a lot of work with Riot City Wrestling. I haven't seen any of her work, though, but she's only 20 years old, and she's already has 6 years of experience under her belt, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, this is all pretty cool that we're starting to get some of the women named, and we're getting them in certain, where we're starting to narrow down the field and who's going to be and who's not. Sucks if Io can't be in it, but at least she signed, and you'll see her on NXT at some point, and I'm sure that they'll do the big match with Asuka, and, you know, her and Kairi having a match too, and it's going to be cool to see Evie and Nixon Newell for sure. I've seen a little bit of them here and there, so yeah.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, it's awesome to see all this starting to kind of formalize and really get down to what we want to see, and that's a lot of new talent joining up with the WWE, and I think they're going to give us just a great performance. So, hey, you know, this is going to be really cool, really exciting. Let's talk about something else that some people may consider really exciting and some people may consider really controversial. Hulk Hogan is apparently going to be back with the WWE, but they don't know exactly yet how they're going to use him. We all know that the ambassador role is kind of out of the question for this guy because of the controversy that sort of, you know, surrounded them. But on the other hand, they still want to find a way to, you know, get him back in the fold and find something for him to do because he is still a big name. He's a guy that has been a huge staple in the WWE for such a long time. And, you know, the fear is the backlash could be pretty heavy, and WWE's kind of trying to find that sweet spot to put him in. What do you guys think that he could actually be put into place and still be successful without getting so much backlash? Sean, I mean, I know you've had a lot of thoughts on this.
Oh, God. Let me tell you something, brother. I don't know that I've had a lot of thoughts on this dude, but
you've seen the video like 3,000 times, haven't you?
I mean, working NXT Navy, where you don't really see him a whole lot, that's the only thing I can think of, because if you're gonna have him in a, other than being an agent or being an NXT, that's the only things I can see where I don't know what he's going to be giving you there. I mean, certainly the promos, he could help you there. Look, the dude is larger than life. He can help with, you know, character work, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, you certainly, like you said, no ambassador role. If you have him on TV, that's going to be a problem. God, please don't have him be a GM or something. So what else is there for the guy?
I think they're going to have him be a GM at some point, if they decide to move Kurt over to let him do a wrestling thing and they decide that's a conflict of interest for whatever reason, or they have another blow up with Stephanie, or if when Daniel does, his contract does expire, if he does leave, SmackDown's going to need somebody and maybe put him in there. But I mean, the SmackDown one's a year and a half down the road. SmackDown, or Raw, excuse me, could be a bit closer depending on if they ever decide to let Kurt wrestle again. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I think that's what they're probably thinking here, is GM role somewhere down the line, or replacing one of the commissioners maybe. Who knows?
I could definitely see him replacing Daniel or something like that, or the Kurt Angle role too. Just, God, I don't want to see him and Stephanie bickering. Just no.
It's gonna be a thing, man. You got to prepare yourself while you can.
Oh, please don't. It's been good with the GMs so far.
Just wait till he's asking her if she's had her vitamins recently.
Oh, God.
You know, you guys are
using a video resume.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there you go. He's like, hey brother, One inch at a time, brother. One inch. But anyway, enough about that terrible, terrible thing. Let's talk about something else. It could be a good thing, I guess, depending on what your opinion is about this guy. We have seen that WWE has just apparently signed Raul Mendoza from the CWC. Paul, I mean, what do you think about this?
Yeah, Raul Mendoza lost to Brian Kendrick in the first round, so he's one of those guys that washed out. But I don't really remember him making a big impact on me like a couple of the other first-round guys did. Either way, though, if they think he's got something worth working with, then NXT is certainly a place to do it.
I liked him. He was pretty high-flying and pretty quick. He fills that Latino quota without having to wear a mask. So, I think he was better than the guy from Chile who had a lot of botches and whatever that I couldn't remember. So, I remember saying that's if they were thinking of guys that didn't have a big name, thinking they might sign him, and they didn't. But glad that he's with them now, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's really great. And to see a guy like this, I mean, we really need more great Latino wrestlers that really can give you an opportunity to showcase them. So it's like kind of like almost as trying to do in NXT. So Mendoza adding himself to that mix is a great deal. And I think it's pretty smart on WWE to do that. Because, I mean, as cool as Kalisto and Grand Metalik and all those guys are, that's more of, you know, I guess you'd just call it the Lucha style, and not everybody's up with that. You know, there are some people that just want to see, you know, guys unmasked and do their own thing. So, well, Sean, another guy that you may be interested in that could be joining WWE is Dalton Castle. His contract with Ring of Honor is actually up this month, and apparently WWE is quite interested in this guy. What do you think about that?
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all that they're interested in him. He is a That character is made for WWE, especially NXT, where you know they're going to love him. And I wonder if him and Charlotte are going to have a peacock off at some point. But honestly, if he doesn't sign, I'll be really surprised. Just hope ROH doesn't like let him just walk. But, you know, I mean, he's been great on his New Japan visits, too. So I wouldn't mind if he went over there, but I just feel like WWE is going to really try to go after him.
Yeah, he's got the tailor-made, so he can work the gimmick well, he's a great wrestler, he's got all these things about him that really draw you in. It's just the thing with Dalton Castle that makes it work so much is the boys, so unless they got some guys they're ready to cast as the boys, I think some retooling might be necessary for it to fly in NXT, but certainly, just as it stands right now, it would certainly fly very well.
I'm going to miss the music, too.
Yeah.
So,
I doubt they're going to do the Queen cover music in NXT.
But, you know, I'm sure they can come close. They may not be the exact, but I'm sure they can find something out that can make everybody happy. I mean, they're not terrible at times in bringing new themes. So, I mean, let's just hope if he does come, they at least respect it and give an opportunity. And yes, you're right. The boys are a big part of Dalton Castle. If they're not willing to sign the two guys that are usually with him, I mean, you could find some other guys possibly to you know, hit this circuit. And
I mean, they could find pretty much – they don't have to be that size. They could just use two guys from the Performance Center if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's – as much as I would love to see those guys be them and get their shot, if they don't come with him, it's not like they, it's like the Adam Rose's, you know, dance party or whatever. They can use people they already have.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and somebody that needs to be nervous on that NXT roster right now, if Dalton Castle is signed, needs to be the Velveteen. Yeah, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be in trouble.
Yeah, so let's just hope for his sake that he can survive that.
Or maybe they'll just be a tag team.
Maybe so.
That could be interesting. I think Patrick Clark would be the clear winner with that one because he needs it. So, but I'm sorry. I'm just not interested in the Velveteen Dream. But let's talk about something else that's kind of interesting and really cool. Speaking of Ring of Honor, they are actually going to be bringing something in to the Best of the World, Best in the World pay-per-view, which will be somebody who I think a lot of people who like Stardom will be excited about. They'll be featuring the high-speed champion Chris Wolf in a match. What do you think about that one, Paul?
This is really cool. We talked so long ago about ROH and Stardom sort of joining up, and this is sort of the first fruit of that. Chris Wolf is an incredible athlete. She's so good. So I'm really looking forward to see. She'll probably be wrestling against Kelly Klein, who's been their big star they've been trying to make with the Women of Honor thing, which I will be infinitely interested in watching that for sure.
I feel like... I mean, I love the fact that they're doing this partnership, and Chris Wolf is awesome. I just feel like people shouldn't get their hopes, like this is going to be probably a YouTube thing, and, you know, I don't know that it's going to make the show. So, you know, I'm just saying, just be aware it could happen that way, and then it doesn't... I guess it's the same thing, that's where they've been doing the Women of Honor deal, but still, just... I'd hate for you're bringing who over to be on YouTube. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, that would be kind of ugh. Well, now, who knows?
I mean, technically, you would get more views because, I mean, how many people are buying those pay-per-views at $35 a pop? So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah. That's true. That's a big factor. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's really cool for Chris Wolf and, you know, for Ring of Honor fans. Let's talk about Impact really quickly here. Impact Wrestling has just announced that they are going to have their first house show since 2015, guys. And that'll be taking place this August. That'll be actually August the 5th, to be specific here. And that'll be in Staten Island, guys. So, you know, there you go. They're actually kind of starting to go back on the house show business, Sean.
Oh, look at that. They're moving on up to the east side, Gary.
I like that, Sean.
So... You know, they're doing things that wrestling companies should be doing. Bravo, Impact Wrestling. Bravo, welcome to, I don't know, the present day, or should I say, like, just anything that matters wrestling-wise. Hopefully this continues. Hopefully it's good for them, and it's not just losing Anthem money, which I'm sure they don't care about, or at least not right now anyway. They understood that it's a losing proposition at first. They got to build it up so that people will eventually want to go to these house shows. But I give them props for for starting this and trying.
Yeah, I mean, this is something they've really been needing to do for a while. Now that they have the money to do it again, that door is suddenly open. So I'm okay with it. Like, I've been to both the TNA pay-per-views that were here in Dallas, and I enjoyed them both. So it's still a fun experience live, even though... You know, sometimes their stories aren't always the greatest.
Yeah, and I kind of sometimes regret not going to some of those shows. Just because of the fact that I've only been to WWE, and I really would love to go check it out just to see how it's like at Impact.
I definitely, when you can check them out more for their wrestling and less for their TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Much better deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that's great, you know, Staten Island fans out there. If you go to that show, let us know.
They won't have Carmella, though, you know.
No, yeah, that's true. Oh, boy. What a sad loss. Yeah.
James Over could already make the show better. Better than Hornswoggle showing up. So.
Oh, yeah. No, the Hammer of Doom comes upon him, so... If you watched Impact this week, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, one other thing really quickly here is, you know, I think that if you're going to try to buy your tickets, you know, to this Impact house show, you better buy them up quickly. I mean, heck, Naito has already tried to buy his tickets. He tried to use the Intercontinental IWPG championship, you know, try to buy his tickets. Didn't work completely, but I mean... I'm kidding. It actually happened, and Paul put this on our doc here that, you know, Kevin Kelly tweeted this out. What was he trying to buy, Paul, with this Intercontinental title?
It looks like dinner or something like that, but it's so like he's just up there casually handing the guy the IWGP Intercontinental title, which is all beat to hell now because he keeps throwing it against stuff. But I thought you might get a kick out of this, and I mean people out there, go find Kevin Kelly's Twitter. It's pretty easy to find, and the picture's right there. It's so funny.
Love it.
Casual.
That's great. That is awesome.
You know, I mean, my God, I mean, I'll be appreciative. You know, I got plenty of stuff to sell you, Naito, if you want to let me have that title. I love it. You know, and I'm sure, you know, the guys over to Impact would definitely take it for a house show ticket. So,
guys over at Impact are still wondering about their own titles. But
hey, I would trade.
What are we going to call them again?
They need to hurry up and get rid of that grand championship is what they need to do. And Moose,
please
take
do.
The interview. Yeah. Oh God, it makes me sick watching that every week. Anyway, let's move on to something that doesn't make me sick, and that is Lucha Underground, guys. We have got our first episode for this season to talk about, and Paul is going to give us the in-depth review on what happened this week on Lucha Underground. So we'll be right back with Lucha Underground right after this.
Yeah, so Lucha Underground comes back from their mid-season break, and they bring us the all-night-long match that they had hyped up between Johnny Mundo and the Mac, which had been sort of building up and piggybacking off of the feud that Mundo and Worldwide Underground was having with Sexy Star. I'm going to break this down by fall just because it's easier to tell the story that way. So much of the early match is all Mundo, sort of taking a bunch of shortcuts. He ends up hitting the end of the world after hitting a bunch of knee strikes and stuff like that, and sort of keeping the Mac off kilter with all of his parkour stuff, which is really cool. So he goes up 1-0 there, and then uses the trunks and gets a roll up using the ropes as well to go up 2-0 to put the Mac down. And so Mac gets pissed off and just starts throwing all the big stuff, big exploder. Absolutely destroys him on the floor with this reverse neck breaker to go up to finally get a fall after that to go to 2-1. And then Mundo starts getting some help from the Worldwide Underground after that. They go with some kendo sticks here, and Mundo does this big dive to the outside, but he starts favoring his leg. They bring out the stretcher and trainers and everything like that. And as the Mac goes over to check on him, sort of shakes his hand and like, man, this really sucks that the match is going to end. Mundo kips up like it's nothing, hits him with a stretcher, low blow, and a DDT to go up 3-1, and the crowd just boos the bejesus out of him. It's great. And suddenly the Mac has had enough once again, just starts battling back, beats him up some more, big stunner, goes up to the score 3-2 from there, and then he manages to tie it up with this huge pile driver on the apron. They go through a bunch of tables. It's totally awesome. The crowd's losing its mind. And from there, it's a sprint to the end as they keep battling back and forth, and the Mac keeps trying to find ways to keep Mundo down, but he just won't do it. He finally sets up a ladder in the ring, hits a huge frog splash through a table, and just as he makes the cover, the referee counts to two, but before he can count to three, time runs out, so it's a draw. And obviously, this shit won't fly in the temple. Dario Cueto comes out, says that the match is going to continue next week. And sudden death, essentially, so the person to score the first fall will win the championship and all that good stuff. And then after that, Mac hits a big stunner on Johnny Mundo. This is really awesome, guys. If you haven't watched this week's Lucha Underground, I highly recommend it. It's so, so good. And of course, they give you the recap videos like usual to help you catch up if you've forgotten some things. So I can't recommend this enough. Go out there and watch it, guys.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to doing that. And, you know, and it's just one of those things that snuck up on me. But you know what? I'm glad they had an episode like this for us to do just that, to catch up on this. And not only that, like Paul just said, it's got all those video packages to kind of fill you in on what maybe you had missed or maybe just things you had forgotten like me. You know, I tend to sometimes forget the small details, especially these big breaks in between. So great stuff coming from us for Lucha Underground this week. And you guys look forward to this weekly because it's going to be a lot of fun getting into what's going to happen for the rest of the season for Lucha Underground. So There you go. All right. Well, we've got some best of the Super Juniors to talk about. There's lots of great stuff with that. Just wanted to remind you, we will be also crowning a superstar of this week, along with a superstar of the month and a match of the month later in the show. So don't forget about that. But now it is time for some New Japan talk. Best of the Super Juniors.
Japan Pro Wrestling.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so the Block A matches, of course, were first from, well, I guess technically it would be 2 days ago now. You have Jushin Thunder Liger and Taichi, and thank God Liger beat Taichi. Because
all hail my Lord. Thunder Liger. All hail. God
yes.
bless him. Yeah.
Because, man, we were going to have a moment on this show if Taichi was the one going on to wrestle the final.
I might have been so depressed I couldn't have done the show, Sean. Like I
yeah, I think I would agree with you there. Just... it would be so sad because you know that Super Junior final would be terrible unless Taichi figured out how to wrestle all of a sudden. Which I guess I would not put past Ghetto that he's just having Taichi do this gimmick the whole time and then, oh, look at that. Now he's wrestling great or something. But Liger tells the crowd that he owes his win to Kushida and Taguchi, and next year without him, the junior scene will be even better. So that kind of makes it sad. That's it. Two points and his final Super Juniors.
What a 2 points, though. Like the crowd ate this up. Kushida and Taguchi were out there to negate all the Suzuki Gun shenanigans. And, I mean, Liger just runs him over at the end with the Shotei Liger Bomb Brainbuster combination. And it's awesome, and the crowd ate it up, and he also, in the promo, he told everybody that the juniors better make him pop from the announce table, so he won't be gone, but just no more Super Juniors for him, and that's a little sad. You know, it's the first step on the way to retirement, I'm assuming, for Mr. Liger.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer he's going to be around, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the guy's been, and the craziest, he can still go at his age, so I mean, that's already awesome as it is, and I wouldn't blame him if he, you know, doesn't just want to go out when he can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on from here, you get Dragon Lee and Taka, and wow, we got a Suzuki Gun match that started kind of normal. We get Taka, of course. This Block A, I should mention that if you listen to our coverage of the last time we talked about Super Juniors, this Block A went all like we basically predicted. So Taka came here and played spoiler and beat Dragon Lee to make sure he doesn't wind up with the 10 points to move on. And yeah, I mean, this was still a pretty good match though for Taka and Dragon Lee going on.
Absolutely, yeah. Taka, an underappreciated person, I think, maybe in this tournament for some. Really works well here, and plays up the fact that he's really trying to unload all the cheating tools that he has in the toolbox against Dragon Lee, who's obviously much younger and faster and all that good stuff that you have whenever you have age versus youth going on. And, Lee decides to argue with the referee some, that ends up costing the match, and Taka puts him away with the Michinoku driver. And, you know, I really enjoyed this. Taka's so fun. Dragon Lee's just a blast to watch, and they made a really fun match here.
Agreed, and, well, at least Taka finishes with 2 more points than he had beforehand. So, hey, more than Jushin Thunder Liger had at the end. And so I had to put that on pause here to do this. You get Ricochet and Marty Scurll, and they had a fantastic match here. Marty Scurll winds up with 8 points, tied with Ricochet. He counters a slam into the chicken wing, And then Ricochet blocks it, and then Venza gets the trickle in, and Ricochet taps out, man. So, you know, big deal to get to tap out Ricochet to end your Super Juniors.
Yeah, this really felt like a match where they went out there and wanted to make sure that Marty not only looked great, but he got a big win before going out and beating Ricochet and making him tap, especially after the match they had, which is just 15 minutes of awesomeness, if you ask me. You know, really wanted to leave a good impression with Marty Scurll, because I don't know how often he's going to be on these tours with how much he's got going on across the world now. So he looked great here. I would not be opposed to seeing more. I'm sure the home fans in Japan wouldn't mind seeing more of them too, just because they really seem to take to the gimmick no matter where they went. So congrats to Marty Scurll. I mean, he finishes with 8, and Ricochet also, I believe, finishes with 8.
Yes, and same thing here as Will Ospreay gets the win to wind up in the final of the Best of Super Juniors, just like we predicted to start this thing. I'm not going to lie, many people predicted Will Ospreay to get out of this block. But, yeah, I mean, still had a very good match here with Hiromu, and another loss for Hiromu, so now he's... He lost to Dragon Lee, he lost to Ricochet, two guys he's beaten before, but he's never faced Will Ospreay, and if he doesn't win on Saturday, there's still that opportunity that Ospreay could claim a match here.
Yeah, I don't think that will be the case, but you never know, obviously, especially when you had two great guys. We'll talk about the Block B stuff next, but Ospreay and Hiromu have themselves a really fun match here. Way above good, for sure. I love the finish, too. Like, Ospreay just goes, decides to throw ham at him, hits the big flipping DDT thing, and then the imploding 450 to make sure Hiromu stays down. These guys fought everywhere. Like, the brawl on the floor was pretty notable, too, with just how hard and how much Hiromu was selling for Ospreay was really impressive. And it's just sort of a shame that Ospreay, his lack of selling the legwork from Hiromu kind of plays into this a little bit as far as enjoyment goes for me, but it's hard to really get mad at that whenever they're out there just throwing bombs and doing all the cool stuff that you love to see from these guys.
That's weird because, you know, his first big match he ever had against Kushida, like, the whole big thing was how he sold the limb work in that match, and then here he does a poor job of it, so I don't know if that's something they were trying to do in the match or just he forgot about it. Or
I win some, lose some, I guess is all you can say. I have no idea.
Yeah, still, I mean, a good way to end Block A. You have your winner, and then you go on to Block B, which was much more open. Everybody went in with 6 points, and it didn't really occur to me until I did the results this morning to like that this all kind of worked out in Kushida's favor here. But so you get into Block B, there's so many different tiebreakers, but basically in order for the other half of Kushida, who'd been on a winning streak since losing at the beginning, he had all the guys that he had beaten previously had to lose their matches. And that is exactly what happened in order to give Kushida, or well, not lose their matches. They had to beat the guys that Kushida lost to, or you know, vice versa, basically. But so Kanemaru has a match with El Desperado. This was still a good match with the two heels going at it. You know, I didn't think it was going to be anything like light your world on fire or whatever, but still pretty entertaining, at least.
Yeah, entertaining, I think, is what they were going for. Because you have Taka and Taichi at ringside, everybody is sort of like, man, what do we do here? And they start coming to blows throughout the match, and it sort of escalates. It's pretty fun. And, I mean, the only reason Kanemaru wins is because Taichi rolls him back in the ring to beat the count. That's the only reason. So I think it's a way to keep both guys looking even and all that. But I think this is a great tournament for both Kanemaru and Despy, too, who really showed that they, given the chance, they can still work their butts off. And Despy, for sure, I think earned a lot of love across the internet from all the places I've seen.
So, once again, working in Kushida's favor is that I should mention that Kanemaru, of course, this means he ends with 8 points. Desperado ends with 6. Taguchi goes and has a match with ACH. One of the matches I was sort of looking forward to because you know ACH will go in with the comedy on Taguchi, and they did a bit of that. But then Taguchi wins with the Dodon into, you know, ACH counters that Dodon, he hits a cradle, but then Taguchi counters it and gets a win. And so Taguchi finishes with 8 and helps Kushida, helps his buddy still stay alive in the tournament.
Yeah, this is another really fun match, too, where Taguchi decides to play more serious and ACH decides to play more comedy. And ACH, I think, playing to the crowd as well as he does, it just worked out really well. Not to mention, these guys go out there and have a really fun match and hit all the hits. And it just happens to turn out that Taguchi's butt is more powerful than ACH's lariat. And that's what gets him the win, essentially.
That's really a weird thing to say when you're thinking about it in context.
Well, you know. But,
it's wrestling, so why not, right?
Yeah.
Only in wrestling can someone's ass seem more powerful than knocking someone's head off with a lariat. It's great. That's what makes this thing that we love so special sometimes and fun. But, so we go on from here to the final match before we have to see if that, you know, the final match with Kushida is going to, who will be going forward after that. So Bushi has to knock off Tiger Mask in order for that to happen, and he does. It was a good match for these guys. Bushi gets that MX and he wins.
Yeah, I thought this was maybe one of the lower end Tiger Mask matches that he's had during this tournament, but I think they went out. It's still a fine match. It wasn't anything to write home about, but I mean, I'm never going to complain about Bushi getting some wins, and she really just goes to show you really shouldn't forget about him, despite the fact that Hiromu commands all the LIJ Super Junior spotlight.
Yeah, he and Hiromu finished with the same amount of points, with 8. And, you know, it looked like Bushi might be one of the guys that takes a lot of L's in this, but not so, as he went in and wound up getting a lot. Getting the same kind of win streak that Kushida got, really. So that means that the final matchup here is the guy that a lot, you know, several of us had predicted, Volador getting to the final. I know Tom was really big on Volador getting that final, but and you as well,
mm-hmm.
Paul. And alas, that is not what happened here. Kushida and Volador go and have a great match, worthy of deciding who goes on in the block. And Kushida will go on and face Will Ospreay again.
I think this worked out just perfectly as far as booking went, too, because for both guys, I think it was win and you're in, and Kushida just happens to come out with everything, but they throw everything at the wall that they can, trying to hit all the big stuff early. It doesn't work, so they keep throwing the big stuff later until it finally just culminates into Kushida getting that God's Last Gift again. I think it was a great tournament for Volador, who unfortunately just comes up a bit short. I think him and Ospreay would have themselves a heck of a match. But we've seen Kushida and Ospreay before. We know what they're capable of. It's greatness. I'm sure we'll get something super awesome this Saturday between the two. And, I still think Kushida's going to come out on the losing end. I think that's part of the reason why he has the ROH TV title right now. So he can go, whenever he decides to take some time away from Japan, he can go tour around with ROH and do all that fun stuff for however long they decide to keep him away.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. And there's got to be a reason that he's got that title.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they did the story well, and that's kind of what I was thinking. That Kushida would get it, but he'd have his heart broken again. It's going to continue that story here in the final. And I think that's kind of a a great way to tell that story is he got so far, but still has more to go to get his full redemption on Hiromu. So definitely gonna probably have to continue to keep checking out New Japan for to see how that goes. But yeah, that's your Super Juniors. Just gotta, I guess, cover the sort of. There's nothing really big aside from that final, which that's good. You don't need anything overshadowing the final. Mm-hmm. We still got some interesting tag matches, and of course they try to do tag matches with all the other participants in there to kind of have them doing something on that day. So you have Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi against Taichi and Minoru Suzuki, who just, I don't know if it was the most recent show that he did, but he was on a DDT show where they were wrestling on a baseball field, which
inside
is fantastic.
Dome.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty. I still need to go watch that. It looked like oodles of fun, but obviously this is still never open way title stuff going on here. I'm leaning towards Suzuki-Goon, but this could really go either way, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, the match is already set for Dominion, so it's not like, you know, Goto really needs this win or anything for... I could see Taichi getting some cheap win over Yoshihashi or whatever. You also have the... I don't even know what if there's an order to this, but I'm just going in an order here. You got Mr. Kazuchika Okada and Ghetto against Kenny Omega and Marty Scurll. Going to be cool to see Marty and Kenny Omega team up here. Feel like Ghetto's here to take the fall, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, I really wouldn't be surprised if Ghetto does take the fall here. I'll go ahead and say that, because they've been pretty intent on making sure Marty Scurll leaves an impression, and I'm sure whatever bits you get of Kenny and Okada will be great to see, too.
I mean, I'm sure Ghetto, him doing the cracking the hand spot to Ghetto is going to be funny.
Yeah.
You know.
He might even crack the beard, for all we know.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And you know, Skrull getting to catch Ghetto doing all his Memphis tactics would be great too. I'd love to see that. So and then, you know, you're going to get your interaction between Kenny and Okada as well, as they build up to their huge match at Dominion. How the hell are they going to outdo their 6-star performance? That's going to be amazing in itself. But yeah, so continuing on, you have your typical 10-man tag here with Los Ingobernables all together again against Hiroshi Tanahashi is injured, so Kojima is stepping in for him, and you get Juice, Ricochet, Taguchi, and Dragon Lee all together in a match.
I mean, these are just so effortless to watch them wrestle each other now, because they've done it so many times, and it's still fun every time. I'm going to lean just towards LIJ. Naito and all that has everything going for them, and, we haven't seen a lot of these guys recently, so I'm sure they just want to make sure LIJ keeps looking strong going forward.
And let's see, what else is happening on this show here? You get War Machine Finley and ACH against Bullet Club of Girls of Destiny, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujiro.
Lots of tag title hype here. I'm going to go with the faces to beat the Bullet Club here. Although with Bad Luck Fale on the other side, you can never really just discount that. But I'll stick with the faces.
Yeah, I'll go with the faces here as well, just because you got more on that side. Yujiro losing a match, never a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Liger, Tiger, and Volador against the Suzuki-Goon Taka, Kanemaru, and El Desperado. Liger to get his a win since this closes out the Super Juniors.
I was thinking maybe Volador gets a pin here too, but I don't know, this one's kind of hard. I'll just go Suzuki-Goon. You know, I mean, they'll highlight all those shenanigans they've been using the entire time, probably steal one.
Wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I'll go with the faces getting the nice win to cap it off for Liger, and then he goes into the commentary booth for that final. And then, of course, the final, we already have our predictions out there. We both feel that Mr. William Ospreay will win the Super Best of Super Juniors for the second time in a row. But anything making you think different here?
No, not at all. Like I said earlier, I think Kushida has that TV title from ROH for a reason. He can step away from New Japan and like go try to find himself over in the States for a little while before he comes back to make a challenge. And Ospreay can get the big match at Dominion, and him and Hiromu can freaking have a balls-to-the-wall awesome match that will get everybody talking and maybe even ends up with Ospreay taking the championship.
I totally agree. I hope Ospreay winds up taking that championship, even though I don't know that it means anything bad if he doesn't. Obviously, the story you're trying to tell is for Kushida to get his vengeance on Hiromu, so if he keeps it the whole year, it's not a bad thing either. Wonderful storytelling there. And, I mean, he will have legit beaten everybody in the division, really, so, mm-hmm. You know, he can go out and gloat that he's done just that. I think you'll get another terrific encounter between these two. Every time they've gone at it, it's been tremendous. Hopefully we get more of that, and yeah, just wonderful end to the Super Juniors tournament that it has been.
All right, that sounds great, and of course, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, if you guys have predicted that correctly. I think you have. I think, you know, a lot of what you guys, you know, said made sense, so looking forward to the, you know, finale of the Best of the Super Juniors, all that stuff, you know, seeing how that all shakes out. All right, now it is time for us to head on over and crown a superstar of the week. So we will be right back with that right after this.
One second.
No problem here. We got a wide array of guys from all these big shows. You know, Best, the Super Juniors, of course, some great stuff coming from WWE and of course, around. So, I mean, trust me, lots of great names on this list.
I don't have the Superstar of the Week theme, so take it away.
Oh, let's do this then, all right.
Oh, my bad.
No, don't worry about it. I forgot to ask for it.
That's okay. All right, well, let's go with 1 point, heading over to Marty Scurll, Paul.
Yeah, Marty's match with Ricochet was enough to earn him a spot on this list. It's incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, go out and watch it. It's really, really good and really leaves a great impression for Marty over there for the fans in Japan.
We gave 2 points to Roman Reigns, Sean.
He had the match with Rollins, correct? Yeah, he had the pretty good match with Rollins. He goes in on a high for the Fatal Five Way coming up on Sunday. You know, Roman is the man over there on Raw, so getting 2 points.
We got 3 points, maybe I guess you'd say flying over to Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, another incredible match on Lucha Underground for Mr. Mundo as he technically retains the championship against the Mac in that all-night-long Lucha match. If you're a fan of Lucha Underground or if you're just a fan of great wrestling, go find a way to watch that match because it's worth your time.
We got 4 points being sent over to Mr. Will Ospreay, Sean.
Well, Mr. Will Ospreay had a damn fine match with Hiromu. And, yeah, I mean, he's in the freaking final. So, second year in a row.
And the guy that is taking home the Superstar of the Week crown, guess who? Kushida.
Yeah, for me, I think Kushida's probably the MVP of the tournament. I don't think anybody had as many great matches as he did throughout. And not to mention he had the story going into it of being down after Hiromu beat the bejesus out of him, and now he's found a glimmer of hope in making it to the finals. So congratulations to Kushida, but I believe that Brit's got your number.
Well, there you go. So we'll find out if that is going to be the case. Well, now we are going to give you guys the superstar of the month of May, and that guy is Kushida himself. I mean, you just kind of said it there, Paul.
Yeah, like MVP of the tournament, great matches across 2 4.5 occasions with Taguchi and, oh crap, I'm blanking on the other one. Anyways, it's great. Bushi is Bushi. Yeah, and just, you know, wins the block out of nowhere, has the right circumstances, and, I mean, just incredible, incredible. Not to mention he won the ROH TV title, even though we haven't seen that match yet.
Yeah, very true. So, well, you know, let's also jump in here with match of the month. Sean, we got one from actually a WWE show. Surprisingly enough, the best of the Super Juniors going on in the month of May. And I'm a little surprised, but this match was so crazy awesome. It was from the TakeOver Chicago show. Of course, that's the UK title, but Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate.
Oh, this was so awesome. These guys just went out there and had one fantastic match, you know, 5 stars, 4.75, whatever you want to give it. Just, you got to understand it's a great match. And if you still, for some reason, haven't seen it, go do yourself a favor and watch this damn match already.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't tell you how happy I was when this whole match went down, and just to see the extreme amazing talent that WWE has in their hands when it comes to those UK guys. So right there, once again, another match that we'll always remember, and we'll definitely be having some talks about this at the end of the year about being maybe a match of the year. You never know. It could be one of those in the, you know, the top five at least, so we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all of our stuff for Superstar of the Week, Match of the Month, and Superstar of the Month. We are now officially done with this episode. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of great content to get through. I mean, trust me, it's been a blast to get through it, but just so much content coming your way today. Of course, don't forget, we are supposed to be doing a big show on Sunday night, which will be our review show for Extreme Rules, so you don't want to miss that. Of course, it'll be a late show, so if you're not staying up late on Sunday night, then you may want to pop it on Monday morning when you wake up. That'll be when it'll be available for you guys to go check out, and we'll be getting into what we think is going to be the best things that happened in the show, or maybe some of the MVPs, all that kind of stuff. You're not going to want to miss that. Plus, next week, don't forget, we'll be doing episodes part one and part two of this show, which will be episode 250. Part one and part two.
Oh my God.
I know. Wow. It's crazy, huh, Sean? And of course, don't forget all the great review shows we'll be doing next week as well. So lots of great stuff coming your way. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. And of course, don't forget to go check out W2Mnet.com. That, you know, not only gives you just the great wrestling content, but a lot more. We talk entertainment sometimes on the show. We have a great entertainment section. We have a football section along with an amazing game section. So tons of stuff over there for you to go check out and enjoy. Also, don't forget to go check out all the great podcasts from that website and go subscribe to the W2M Network. And maybe if you just don't want all that and you're a dog, you just want us, go subscribe at Wrestling to the Max. And you can do that very simply by using, you know, subscribe on iTunes or whatever you use to go get your podcast. So, well, for myself, I'm Gary Vaughn. That was Mr. Sean Garmer and Mr. Paul Leeser. But for tonight, we are done. Until next time, though. If you're not living life to the max,
not living life at all.
You know it.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.